J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Are you lonesome tonight? Do you miss me tonight? Are you sorry we drifted apart? Does your memory stray to a bright summer day when I kissed you and called you sweetheart? Do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare? Do you gaze at your doorstep and picture me there? Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I call back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome?
You know, I wonder if you're lonesome tonight. I wonder a lot of things. Like, are you human? How do you live with yourself? Are you a reptile with a nice hairdo? You sneaky tramp! You lied to me! When you told me you loved me, you never loved me! You said forever, remember that one? Oh, there's a joke, forever! Yeah, forever, honey! Yeah, what does forever mean to you? Till another guy comes into your life with more money and a better car? Oh, I'm sorry, we better break up! Growing as a person, we need to get away from each other. Oh, that was a great idea. Yeah, let's break up, honey. Did you grow any? Are you any taller? I'll tell you what you learned how to break my heart.
But I'd rather go on hearing your lies than to go on living without you. That's how sick I am. Well, I'm standing here. The stage is bare. Oh, I can't say it.
You know what you did. You know what you did? You were wrong! Say it, you stupid, stubborn pig! I was wrong! Oh. Ah!
Is your heart filled with pain? Shall I call back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?
I hope you die.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Friday, April 15th, 2022, 216 days remaining in our American democratic system, as we have known. And how you doing, kids? It's JC here at jcontheline.com. I wanted to pick something very, very inspirational and religious to open the show today, because it's the, not only is it Easter on Sunday, it's also the beginning of Passover. I guess that's, what, tonight? I can get into, you know, one of the other big Christian holidays, that, of course, being Christmas. I like the pretty lights and everything like that. But as an agnostic, Easter to me is actually sort of an annoyance. I hate to say it that way, but it is true, because the world sort of comes to a stop and stores close and a lot of things that you could normally do on a Sunday, you can't do. I don't come from a big family, so I don't have any thing to attend where there's going to be, you know, thousands of little kids and four different generations of people all showing up for some big family dinner or something. And actually, the whole thing reminds me of an old Henny Youngman joke. He said, I used to be an atheist, but I gave it up because they don't have any holidays. Good morning, everybody. In college, I had a roommate who was Greek. His last name was Sarpalis. And, you know, I don't know when it was, a couple of weeks before, a couple of weeks after Easter, he would go home for the Greek Easter celebration. I used to say to him, what is all the Greek Easter? It's like Jesus didn't recreate pushing the rock away from the tomb on a separate day just for you guys. And then I figured out it's all about the calendar. Calendar is different. I started to become very suspicious of religion at a very early age. But then as time goes on, you even find out that Christmas wasn't even anywhere near December. It was actually right about now. Actually, I think they said it was like mid to late March is when Christmas actually happened. They moved it for some reason. I don't know. I don't know if that had anything to do with the calendar too. All I know is I was like, so no, wait a minute. This thing where the whole world, again, comes to a screeching halt, and we have all of these celebrations, and then, you know, in recent years, all this controversy too, but all of this stuff, and it drives the economy. You know, something like 70% of retail business occurs during November and December for Christmas shopping, holiday shopping. And you got the lights, and you got the crowded airports, and you have, you know, the entire entertainment industry caters to the whole idea of Christmas. And you have hundreds of Lifetime movies and all that sort of stuff all happening in December. And then you find out as you get a little older, it's actually probably more like March. Big story in St. Louis, again, is the Stan Kroenke money. The $500 million. Didn't I tell you this was going to happen? What's interesting about it is everything's been sealed. Everything is a big secret. Nobody can find out any information. There's no receipts anywhere, you know, a big pile of receipts. Nobody knows if some of the money has already been promised to somebody. Nobody has any idea. You got $500 million laying there, and people are starting to say, we want some of that, and we better get some of it, and we better start getting some answers pretty soon here. You may recall that during the rumors, the serious rumors going around that maybe Albert Pujols was coming back to St. Louis to rejoin the Cardinals, I was against it. I continue to be against it. And you may recall when Albert was here 10 years ago, he used to believe that he was invisible on the base paths. He'd joke about it, but I really do get the idea that at least part of what he was telling us, he was serious about. Now, I have that interview clip somewhere in my archives, but I lost it. I'm going to try and find it over the weekend and play it for you sometime next week. But John and I were down in spring training, and we got into this whole thing about his base running. Now, you may recall that as a younger, more adept on his feet, young athlete, Albert would take a lot of chances on the base paths. Oftentimes, he was very successful. If he caught a pitcher or an infielder or a catcher napping, he would take the extra base and make it really embarrassing for the other side. And he was successful many, many times doing that. He was also unsuccessful a measurable percentage of the time. And again, this was all when he was a much younger man. And that is, by the way, assuming that anybody believes that his age is what he says it is. We've had that discussion many times too. So now he comes back here 10 years later, and last night was a perfect example of what I'm talking about. He's standing on second base. There's one out, and he takes off, and he's out by 30 feet over at third base. Well, you're already in scoring position. You only have one out. Base hit scores the run. Why are you trying to steal third in the first place? Really, really dumb. And nobody's skills athletically improve with age. So, you know, maybe that might have worked when you were here the first time 10 years ago. Somebody needs to reel that boy in. He's going to give us some thrills. I still think at the end of the day, it will have not been, speaking of baseball percentages and runs scored and just, you know, run production and stuff like that. Oh, here, are they talking about it right now? Hold on a second.
Rather easily. Last time he got caught stealing was in 2015. Bottom of the second.
But who's counting? All right. Martin pointing out the same thing I am there, the base running skills of Albert Pujols, which may be deteriorating. All right. Jeff Bezos apparently feeling the pressure from Elon Musk. Elon Musk wants to buy Twitter in cash. What's amazing about that story is that not that he would buy it and spend, I don't know, a couple of billion dollars buying Twitter. The amazing part is that even after he did it, he would still be the richest man in the world. So, not to be undone, Jeff Bezos comes along and says, you know, rocket ships just don't grow on trees. So, starting on the 28th of this month, you will start paying a 5% fuel and inflation charge. Because Amazon says, well, you know, gasoline is so much more expensive and, you know, inflation is causing problems for us. So, we have to pass that on to you. So, pay another 5%. The gall of these guys. The gall. All right. Happy thoughts, JC. Happy. The Blues have won 7 straight. And then there is the issue of Dyersville, Iowa, the home of the Field of Dreams. Now, this is the place where they shot a good chunk of the movie, the baseball scenes, there on that field in tiny Dyersburg, Iowa. All of this in 1988. Movie was released in 89, but people have still been coming from all over the world just to go out to that farm and walk around and just sort of feel whatever, you know, I don't like using the word magic because there isn't really such a thing, and maybe this is just semantics or mincing words here, but I will use the term magical, because something obviously is going on. That movie touched people in ways that you just don't see every day. Movie came out 34 years ago, and people are still, you know, making that pilgrimage to Dyersville. And when I used to go there, and I went to the Field of Dreams 4 or 5 times, when I went there, it looked exactly like it did in the movie. It had this dirt road that came on from a state road that connected somehow to the interstate system. And you'd drive that dirt road, and you'd come, there would be, you'd see the lights, and there's the farmhouse. And there's the field, and there's the corn, and you would just get out and throw the ball around a little bit. But as is the case with everything in this country, we ruin it. Because, you know, now they have the professional baseball games there, and they built another field, and they built bleachers and, you know, grandstands and an actual, it almost looks like a small spring training facility. Well, now they announced yesterday that they are building this thing up even more. When I say more, I'm talking Vegas more. Something like, you know, 9 fields and a hotel complex and restaurants and big buildings and all of this stuff. And then they're going to have youth tournaments there, which in and of itself is not a bad idea, but not on the Field of Dreams. You're going to ruin the whole goddamn thing. The first time you tried to explain to like one of your kids or a niece or a nephew why on Easter, where you're supposed to be celebrating the resurrection of Christ, we run around in the backyard and get giant baskets of colored Easter eggs, and there's an Easter bunny. Your little 5-year-old looking back at you like, you're shitting me. A new survey about Easter, they asked people, they said, okay, if Easter is now celebrated more because it's a proper special occasion, or is it because of pressure from corporate America? 61% said it's still true to its purpose. 26% said it's become overly commercialized. People are still spending money, though. 45% of Americans are planning to spend more on Easter this year than in 2021, and a total of $20.8 billion will be spent on Easter this year. That breaks down to about $170 per person celebrating it. $3 billion spent on candy alone. $3.4 billion will be spent on Easter What the hell is Easter? Oh, clothing? I guess suits when I was little. I remember that. I had a baseball coach back when I was about, I don't know, probably 10 or 11 years old. We were having a baseball practice, and one of the kids had to leave early. One of the boys got picked up by their parents early because he had to go get his Easter suit. And I remember the manager going, why don't you just wait till the end? Wait till the end. Like, wait till Saturday, because then the prices drop. And I'm thinking to myself, they're not fucking Christmas trees. Price of suits doesn't drop the day before Easter. Easter clothing, yeah. 60% of parents say they even plan on sending Easter baskets to their kids who have moved out. The most popular basket items, chocolate bunnies, followed by individually wrapped candy, arts and crafts, loose, chewy candy. That sounds appetizing, doesn't it? And bunny stuffed animals. This I did not know. Some people celebrate Easter with soft pretzels. The idea is that the twists of the pretzels sort of look like arms crossed in prayer. Get out of here. Decorating eggs come from a Ukrainian tradition. Ornate eggs were called pisankas, which were made by using wax and dyes, and it wasn't until Ukrainian immigrants came to the U.S. that the custom caught on. Who knew? Despite the importance of Easter to some people, a lot of folks still don't know how the date is determined. It falls on the first Sunday after the first full moon, after March 21st. There's a pink full moon this weekend, which you can see tonight and tomorrow night. Passover begins this evening, runs through Saturday, April 23rd. It celebrates the Exodus, the liberation of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Passover usually begins with the Passover Seder, a ritual feast. How do you eat your peeps? Here we go with the psychopaths. In a survey, 64% of people say they prefer the chick peeps to the bunnies, and 88% enjoy peeps more when they're fresh out of the package rather than letting them get a little stale first, because that's a thing. Some people want their peeps a little stiff. And I thought we could use some inspiration here as we approach the Easter holiday. So we bring in the deeply, deeply religious George Carlin and him playing the Lord Almighty in this bit called Interview with Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're privileged to have with us a man known all over the world as the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ.
That's right.
How are you, Jesus?
Fine, thanks, and let me say it's great to be back.
Can you tell us after all this time why you came back?
Mostly nostalgia.
What can you tell us about the Last Supper?
Well, first of all, if I had known I was going to be crucified, I would have had a bigger meal. You never want to be crucified on an empty stomach.
The crucifixion must have been terrible.
It was awful, I gotta tell you. Unless you've gone through it yourself, you could never know how painful it was. And tiring. It was very, very tiring and embarrassing. I think more than anything, it was embarrassing. You know, right in front of everybody to be crucified. But I don't know, I guess it redeemed a lot of people.
Were you scared?
Yeah. Near the end, I thought it was gonna rain. I was afraid I might get hit by lightning. But all in all, I would say when I was here, I had a good time.
You wouldn't want to be a Christian?
No, I would never want to be a member of any group whose symbol is a man nailed onto two pieces of wood, especially if it's me.
Do you have any last thoughts or words of advice?
Well, I don't know how spiritual it is, but I'd say one thing is don't give your money to the church. They should be giving their money to you.
Well, thank you, Jesus, and good night.
Well, good night. Thanks for having me on here today. By the way, big bands are definitely not coming back.
Well, thank you, George, for that sobering view of things. There are some people who will say, like, you see this on dating profiles and stuff, they go, are you religious? And go, no, I'm spiritual, which I guess is a fancy way of saying I don't get up, drag my ass to church on Sunday morning. But the things that inspire me, and by the way, this may present some real problems for theologians in a couple of months. It's this James Webb telescope. Now, I was at Plaza Frontenac at a restaurant there, that new Mexican place. I can't remember the name of it. But anyway, we were there, and I got into a long discussion with two very, very smart women who are friends of mine. They knew nothing about this. They knew nothing about the Webb telescope. And I was explaining it to them, and I didn't do a very good job. And they were sort of looking at me like, what are you talking about? But this James Webb telescope, which was launched, I believe it might have been Christmas. And the thing is going to take about 6 months to get into position, and it's the most powerful telescope ever in the history of telescopes. This telescope makes the Hubble thing look like a pair of plastic field glasses you buy at a gift shop. And this is where it gets difficult to explain. When you look up at a star and you see the light that the star is shining in your eyes, what you're seeing is not what is there now. What you're seeing is what was there like 180 million light years ago. That star might not even be there anymore, but that's how long it takes for the light to travel. And again, it's mind-boggling when you're thinking of it in those terms. Therefore, the Webb telescope goes up and is actually going to be able to look so far back, in fact, back into time, that they think there's a possibility that this thing might be able to see the Big Bang. And you're like, huh? What? Huh? Huh? And that's how I was until I started really trying to sort this thing out. But yeah, you're looking at light that was there, but may not be there anymore. But this telescope is going to look so far back intensely in time, might be able to see how we all got here, which, as I said, could
present a little problem for some of these theologians who are trying to tell you, you know, Sarah Palin shit, like, you know, the earth is only 6,000 years old and stuff like that. And it's crazy, too, because on the sun side of this telescope, this is how far this thing is going out. On the sun side, temperatures like super hot. And on the flip side, the side that is pointed away from the sun, that side is 450 degrees below zero. 450 below zero. Might want to bring the microfiber blanket on that trip. But anyhow, that thing is supposed to start sending back pictures and images and stuff like that sometime in June, July at the latest. And I, for one, can't express to you my degree of excitement. And I think you're going to eventually get excited too, because once the media gloms onto this thing, as we get closer to the first pictures being sent back, it's even possible we may learn some things about how we got here that may be unsettling. Not for me, but for a lot of people. For me, I think it's incredibly exciting. In other space news, astronomers spotted the largest comet ever seen, about twice the size of Rhode Island, but luckily it should miss us by about a billion miles. Physics news. A study found that tiny particles called bosons, B-O-S-O-N-S, might weigh slightly more than we thought, and experts are baffled by it. If it's true, it could have huge implications for particle physics and may help us figure out what dark matter is. A NYU study found near-death experiences don't really have much in common with hallucinations, so maybe they're real or something else weird is going on in our brains. A study at Harvard found just breathing deeply can help you fight off a virus. And here's the cool stat. You'll take more than 600 million breaths in your life. And finally, a team in England managed to rejuvenate a 53-year-old woman's skin cells, so now they're equivalent of a 23-year-old woman's skin. Oh, man, somebody's going to make money. So much for putting cucumbers on your eyes at the spa. Make sure those are sliced cucumbers, by the way. You don't want to look like an idiot. Speaking of the beginnings of time, the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs hit the Gulf of Mexico 66 million years ago. Now researchers think they've found a fossil of a dinosaur in North Dakota that may have died that very day. And they know that because of the layer of debris that is on top of it. Scientists in England think mushrooms can talk to each other using different electrical signals. They think they might have up to 50 words in their vocabulary. Talking mushrooms. Being a mushroom is like working in corporate America. People are always feeding you shit and keeping you in the dark. Good morning, everybody. I apologize for that dad joke. It just slipped out, okay? All right, looking at the old calendar, it was on this date, 1985. I became a homeowner for the first time in my life. Bought a little place in Baldwin. That was my first home. I had no idea what I was doing. My old college friend, Suzanne Jones, from Northern Illinois University, held my hand throughout the entire process. Oh, I love this one. In 1988, radio stations do things. Well, I'm sure it's not just radio stations. Probably a lot of companies that do research on audiences. They do this thing called a perceptual. And a perceptual means we are trying to find something out here about this particular radio market or this particular radio personality or this particular radio station. And the only way to find this stuff out is to get a room of, oh, you know, sometimes it's eight people, sometimes it's a dozen people. And then they ask people questions about something. And then based on the answers they get, sometimes they take that research and then present that to a larger sample of people and try to pin it down. I'll give you an example. A couple of years back, The Arch was thinking about hiring me and Laurie Mack to take over the morning show. They said, we're pretty sure we want to do this, but we're going to do a perceptual. So this is going to take about 6 weeks. We'll call you in 6 weeks. Sure enough, they call me 6 weeks later and they got, you know, rooms full of people together and asked questions. And here are the questions that they asked. Number one, are you familiar with the name J.C. Corcoran? To my shock and surprise, 100%. There wasn't anybody who didn't know who I was. Okay. Question number two. Let's talk about likability. And I'm like, oh, shit, here we go. And to my, again, shock and surprise, 60% likability. Anything over 50 is good. I was shocked to see that. Get a guy like Mark Close, a guy like, John Hewlett, people like that, get like a 10 on likability and familiarity and a 0 on dislikability. In my case, I always get 10s on likability and 10s on dislike. Thank you, St. Louis. So anyhow, I get 100% on familiarity, 60% on likability, and then they say, okay, so you know him and you like him. How about we put him on the morning show on the Arch? And apparently the respondent said, oh, well, no, because he does a talk show, which is very annoying because a talk show is only one of the things in my repertoire. I mean, I just came off 5 years of doing a music intensive show in the morning. So, you know, play like 8, 9, 10 records an hour. That's pretty good. I didn't really talk that much. And then they stopped asking questions. And then they hired some dork out of Delaware who only lasted about 2 years. But, you know, media outlets are always doing research. I mentioned that because on this date, 1988, when we were with the classic rock station 93.7 KSD doing the old Breakfast Club, they released the Perceptual, and the Perceptual done by this company. I mean, they pay these people like $100,000 to do this stuff. And they came back and said, well, the J.C. Corcoran phenomenon is pretty much over. People are tired of him. And so we can't recommend that you sign him to a new contract because our research indicates that he's pretty much done. That was in 1988. I'm still here, dummies. Tomorrow's date, 1985, that's when those billboards went up coming in from Illinois by the Poplar Street Bridge. One side was John and the other side was me. That was a big deal. I went out on a Sunday morning, like 6 o'clock in the morning, and stood on the Poplar Street Bridge to make sure I got pictures of these things. And people were buzzing by me at about 85 miles an hour, beeping their horns like, you idiot, get off the Poplar Street Bridge. Why are you standing on the bridge? I'm like, got good reason to be here, you know? And a guy by the name of Springsteen played the arena on Sunday's date back in 1988. And I don't know if you saw this, it's running around on the internet if you missed the show. Kim Kardashian ended up running off the stage after Ellen pranked her with a fake spider. It's actually fun to see somebody haul ass who is literally already hauling ass. And with that, we say that's it for the J.C. Corcoran podcast for Friday, April 15th, 2022, 216 days remaining in our American democratic system of government. As we have known it, we are here every weekday morning, right about 7 o'clock Central Time. We archive all the old shows, the baseball show from Thursday last week. The record setter is still up there. If you want to punch that up, listen over the weekend. You may email me at jc@jcontheline.com. Facebook is The Showgram with J.C. Corcoran. Have a nice weekend. Talk to you on Monday. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.